Yeah. Heck, if they accepted it and gave you the domain and don't send you bills either way, it may or may not be all bad, but... Yes.
What does my provider have to do if that address is
local? Your provider doesn't have to do anything. If the whole Class C network is to you, how you divide it up and what you do with it is up to you. So you just pick one. Let's say you pick .12. And .12 is your name server. Then when you fill out this form, page up to the name server part of this form. Oh, down here a little bit. Primary server name and the secondary name server, you just put in the name you made up and the IP address the machine's on. Secondary, if that's your provider, he'll tell you the name and the IP address. If both of these are yours, you're free to make up any name and you're free to use whatever IP number you want. And when you send in this form, it goes frozen. Now if you change it, you have to send in an update form to change it. So your name server numbers, that's why using things like NS dot in front of the name to let you split that off. So if you want to move a bunch of other stuff, you can live with the fact that one of these addresses you sent in a form and froze it in time. So you don't have to send in the updates all the time. Although it's not that bad anymore. They went through a period where updating that was rough, but it's gotten real good. They're about 2 to 3 days to change that stuff now. Now the way this works is you'll notice the questions that are in here. Scroll back up through this, Chris, a little bit, and you'll see that it has your organization name and your domain name, and scroll down a little bit farther here. Who's your administrative contract, your technical contract? This was one of the things you didn't know who these people were or what their responsibilities were. The new instructions actually tell you what those mean. Billing contact, that one's pretty obvious. That's who gets to pay. Nick handle is assigned back to them, and I'll show you what that means. Nick handle is used, you notice it says, if known. This is really, you either put a Nick handle here, or you fill all this out. Whenever you fill this out and put a new name and address there, they will issue you a Nick handle the first time. And then if you know it, You can fill this out every time and they'll work it out for you, but then or you can put your Nick handle here. If you send in several of these, you can just shortcut the process by putting your Nick handle in. I'm going to show you that in a minute. Okay, now go look up. Let's go get out of here and bring the iPad back up. Pardon? No, that's all gone. They used to ask what software you were running. That's all gone. They realized that that was all just kind of interesting data and it wasn't working. Telnet to rs.internic.net. If you telnet to rs.internic.net, you can type who is at the first prompt, and you're connecting to the who is database. Now, if I type in esoft.com, you'll see some things here. Esoft-DOM, that's the NIC name for my domain. You'll see that Becker Philip L. is the administrative technical zone contact, PB106, that's my nickname. Type in PB106. And you'll see that that's me. Now, anytime I fill out a form, I can just put BB106 in nickname, and I don't have to fill the whole thing out because it's already on file. If I change any of this, I have to send an update record in to change my nickname. If I change address, I change phone numbers.
Can you back up and do that one more thing? Go back and show how he got to the
video. Sure, just page up. You can.
Where's your bill handle on that?
All you do is telnet. rs.internic.net. When you telnet it, you'll get this whole big thing about how we're the internic, and you'll get a prompt that we're on a deck VT100 mode, internic, or whatever, and at that prompt, you just type who is and enter. And when you type who is and enter, you're at the who is prompt and you're in this database. And in this database, you can look things up. Look up cuspcom.com. C-U-S-P-C-O-M was?
Yes, C-U-S-C-O-M, no P.
No P, okay. C-U-S-C-O-M.com. So cuscom.com. Oh, back up over the P. There you go. Oh, C-U-S-C-O-M-P. The P's on the end. Okay. I knew there was one. I just had it in the wrong place. That's all. Okay. And you'll see customer computer connection. John S. Dodge, administrative contact. Steve Bunnell, technical and zone contact. Nicknames, JSD3 and SB1535. So if you type in the nicknames, JSD3, and SB1535. Does that all look like what you put on your form?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you put your home phone number.
Well, don't put any, these forms, as you can see, are a matter of public record. Therefore, do not put on these forms things that you do not wish to be a matter of public record.
we looked at mine a while ago and it didn't show a second there. Can we look at that one more time? SBCI.org.
Sure. And I am totally mystified how that happened. Because normally, if you didn't put two on the form, they'd bounce it. And if you put two on the form, they'd both be there. So something's happened. Well, SBCCI-DOM will get you what you see here. If you get TS, an incredibly status nickname, no numbers or anything, just the initials. You have to do, I think, NA on that. Do a no, you don't want to see them. I think you do NA space, or what is it? Do a question mark, I forget. There's something you can put in front of it when it conflicts. A PE, okay, do a PE space TS. Oh. That's interesting. You have all sorts of interesting
things. I think they're database.
I would say somehow you put a little torpedo in that form when you sent it in.
I've got a copy of the form, and that sucker has a primary and secondary.
Well, I would basically probably send some message to Hostmaster at Internick and say, I don't know how this has happened, but your nickname is obviously screwed up. Having no numbers after TS, I can't look up your nickname.
Since the internet sends out an email in for us to say this was registered, it is secondary to send an email message back modifying to the name.
It's always possible. I mean, you know, that's why it says at the bottom, if you page up a little bit and get back to it, you can see it hasn't been changed, though. It was created 31 January 96, and it's never been modified, because otherwise it would say, last updated 31/31. That's it.
That's wrong, because we did send in a modify, and that hasn't taken a place yet.
Okay.
That's what's going on, because we did send in a modify. Because the first one we sent in didn't have the secondary on it.
Okay.
We sent it again with, we had to send in a modify with the secondary when our system came up online.
And then your modify has not taken effect. What I'm amazed at is that they let you go without secondary.
We modified twice, actually. The second one was modified.
Well, you know, you've sent in modifications twice. You can see that as far as they're concerned, that's it for you.
Yeah, they didn't get it.
It's never been modified.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I want to talk to my internet provider. I don't think the problem's internet. I think the problem.
Are you sending the forms to internet?
The provider is. That's what I'm saying. I'm
okay.
Provider.
Well, send them yourself. Your provider does not need to send forms.
They won't. I contacted them. They won't take it because the three names on the original system administrator is the provider.
So Tim Smith is your provider?
Yeah, they won't take it from me. They want it from Tim Smith.
Then I would take Tim Smith out back and tell him he has done something that the internet frowns upon. He owns your domain, not you.
Right. And
he registered his domain to him and not you, and it's not supposed to be done that way.
Yeah,
that's unethical provider behavior.
The lawyer sitting in the office next door to me will give Tim Smith a call.
Okay. Because that's unethical provider behavior. This is not your domain as registered. It's his.
Well, I already know the show.
Yeah.
We have. We've already done it. We've called him twice and haven't changed it.
It is possible to win a proxy fight over a domain without a lawyer.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is, however, the bottom line is, and this is why it's unethical provider behavior, at this level, registered as it is, it's his and not yours. It's never been yours, and there's no record of it ever being yours, and the internet, as far as they're concerned, it's not yours, it's his. And so, you know, you have to knock him off of that in some way, and if he did it because he wants to keep control of your domain name, you may have to have an issue over it.
Yeah, well, that's...
But it's clearly unethical provider behavior to do that.
We've had a big fight with them already about that.
Okay.
They were supposed to change the fact we've gone through twice to change it.
Key is show him that you know how to watch now and see if it makes a difference.
They're giving me copies of the form.
Well, there's two possibilities. One is he just doesn't know any better.
Yeah.
The other is that he's doing it on purpose to retain control of you so you can't leave him as a customer.
Oh, I believe that's what it is.
And if that's the case, it's unethical behavior on the part of a provider, and there are some, you know, there are some actions you can take.
The other thing that you should do is have him write you a letter that says you have his permission to make changes to that domain name. And if you get him to email that to you, just include that email message with the domain name.
I don't even need to do that on letterhead.
Yeah, it's got to be on letterhead.
I did it on email.
Huh, it worked okay, huh? Well, obviously, you know, you can slide things through the internet sometimes. They don't always look at every dot and every P and Q.
Right, because the guy I talked to on the phone about it said that if he was registered to our company name, which that's a copy, that's the SBCI, it's a trademark.
Uh-huh.
If he was registered that under his name...
Page up a little bit farther.
Said all we should do is change it.
Is this your address or his address?
That's our address.
Okay.
And he said since it was our address and our company name, that all we had to do is send him something on letterhead.
Okay.
And that he would change it whether Tim Smith liked it or not.
That's probably what you ought to do then. What you ought to do is print that template out, fill the template out the way you want it to be, and print it on company letterhead, and mail it in. Because if this is your address, that will be enough for the internet to respond to your letter.
They'll also send an email back to the original owner.
They absolutely will.
And say,
if that owner objects, then you might...
No, in this case, what you do, leave him as technical and zone and put yourself as administrative. Because it's the administrative contact that owns the name.
Let me ask you this one question.
And that way you haven't said he can't do anything with it. You've just said he works for you and not you for him.
If he's giving you a range of IP addresses or a Class C or whatever, that's out of his group that he's gotten from somebody like a friend.
Yes, and that can be done a lot of different ways, and some people try to get their own Class C networks and carry them around, but you have to do all the interface with NACR and get the national rerouting and the international rerouting, and it's a nightmare. It's much better. The Class C network is not the problem here. The problem is your domain name and being authoritative over it. But then you can change to a different Class C network, modify all your DNS stuff, and the world will follow right along because your names will point to your new place. It's like changing, moving to a new town and getting a forwarding address, only better because your address doesn't change.
Well, what surprised me, I called Sprint. It turns out that he is getting his from Sprint.
Yes, that's normal.
When I called Sprint, they told me that if I left him and simply notified them, that they would let me take my Class C.
If it's another provider that's also connected to Sprint, Sprint will do that.
Okay.
That's highly variable based on who you get it from.
Right. And they said I can even go directly to them and bypass him altogether.
It would, but the price would probably change. Okay, now that we are here, and who is, go back to the prompt down at the bottom here. Let's do something else about looking up nets. What's your IP address?
Mine?
Yes, the one that you've got from him.
205, I'm not sure, 205-146.
Oh, hey, page up. It'll be there on your server, right? That's your, is that his server?
That'll be his. He's pointing to me.
Okay. Go over to NS Lookup and do an NS-REC of sbcci.org. 204-240-240. Is that you or
yeah,
no?
205-241-146. Right, 131. That's my iPad.
146, yeah. Do a dot zero. It's a lane. You want the network. These are some of the more interesting things that you can learn from the WHOIS database. You can learn who has got the network registered to them. And you can see that that network 205-241-146.0 is in the Sprint block, and it's registered as Sprint, and that's the name of this Sprint block.
Yeah.
So that is still registered to Sprint in Sprint's name.
Now, we're Class C. Sprint is a Class D or a Class B?
No, none of the above.
Okay.
This network is a Class C, and that network exists free from all other networks, and it's routed. It goes through Sprint to the backbone to wherever, and there's national routing applications and forms you fill out, and you work through what's called the NACR, and I'm not even going to tell you about it because you never should have to deal with it. If you do, you've gotten more advanced than this class, okay? But that's what your provider's doing. And that's why your provider wants to stay in control of the reverse and all that, because they're the ones moving that Class C to your pipe.
He wants to stay with the domain name server.
Well, again, once you reach the point of getting yourself listed as administrative contract, you just send in forms and make the updates the way you want.
I get my Class C Monday from him, so.
Yeah.
And
a lot of providers are just unaware this is ethical behavior. They think it's a cute business trick to keep you a captive customer, and they don't realize it's just completely unethical. Yes?
You do a lookup online, and we had a consultant come and put our system in, and ever since he put it in, we've had a headache with forms and things not put in, like jsi-net.com.
J-S-I?
Python.
Oh, dash, N-E-T?
Right.
Dot com?
Right.
Okay. Oh, do DO space. That's a conflicting situation. Looks like your net. Is this your Class C?
Yep, that's it.
Your Class C has been registered to you specifically as well. So here's where you are. Again, however, you should have... I mean, that's a very vague way to fill in a form. I don't know what Internet's going to do. They either let everybody or nobody change it, I suppose, with a name like that.
You just mentioned that Class C was registered to him.
Right. In other words, do a net space. What was it? 204-216-58.1. Wait a minute. Whoops. Well, do JS-net. Page up. It's what I need. I just went off the screen here. Nope, went too far. Go down a little farther. Oh, JS-NE-HST. Put that in. JS-NET-HST. wait a minute. Am I not being able to read here? Is that what's going on? Because it came up here, and I'm just trying to put it in to get all the details on it. Down a little. Oh, JS-NE-HST. Sorry. Wait a minute. Well, JS-NET. There we go. Okay. Isn't that what we put in just a minute ago? Okay. We put a T on it. Okay. This is entirely, if we type it right, it will work. So basically, js.net.is, this is the address. Don't know what system it's running, and there is currently no name hook to it, but it's been split off separately, which means it's about half registered DU.
So you're saying you can actually take the class C you get from the provider and register it to use what?
The provider can hand it to you. It has to be done by the provider and handed down. It's normally not done that way. Normally, and there's really not much reason to do it that way. He would do it that way if he wanted to hand the whole thing off, reverse and all. Most providers don't do that. Again, however, understand something really, really important. Most providers are more ignorant of this than you now are after just today. And they do a lot of things a way they know works with not any real understanding of the consequences of how they've chosen to do them. They just hacked at it till something worked, and then that's what they do. And there really is a structure here, and normally Class C networks stay with the backbone. The backbone can hand blocks to a provider. In the case of Sprint, you don't want Sprint to hand off one, two. You don't want them to hand off a Class C in less than a block of eight. Because if you do, you'll have performance problems out the gazoo. Because if it gets anywhere near Washington, D.C., the route will be shed. If it has a block size less than 8, there's some evidence it's getting up to 16 these days. And so you want those allocations of groups of Class Cs to be handed down from Sprint, any level they're handed down, in blocks of minimum size 16. So what you would like is if you get it from a provider that's not Sprint, you would like Sprint to have handed it to that provider in a block of at least 16 contiguous Class Cs, of which yours is one, and then don't have your provider hand it to you.
Yeah, I think that's way.
The way this is registered makes it suspicious because it's pulled out totally separate as a class, a block of one. And that's, I would just alert you to that if you see performance problems, if there's certain places when you telnet somewhere it takes a minute to connect and then it starts running or you get going.
Phyllis, the point here is that it's not important to have a Class C address. You'll have 256 addresses with Class C. You actually won't control it, but it's the whole point here that as long as you can control your domain name.
The question is the point here that as long as you control your domain name, controlling your Class C network may be more negative than positive? The answer is absolutely yes. You do not need or probably want to have control over your Class C network if you're more than one hop away from a Sprint or an MCI backbone. It will probably hurt you more than help you to actually have control of it. Because you will be going into routing tables and a lot of other complex things as a smaller entity with less clout when the world gets rough. However, if you control your domain name, it's critical that you control your domain name. If you control your domain name, then whatever happens to your network numbers is not of very much importance because you have freedom to adjust to it very quickly. You can drop one provider, get another, change from one Class C network to a different Class C network. If you control your domain name, in 24 to 48 hours, the world will work just like it did before. So yes, that is good to say that I should summarize it because that is the point. Don't be afraid you're going to run out of IP addresses, because if you have your own, you'll run out a lot faster than if you let Sprint loan you one.
Can you just drop mine and go to MCI? Or
well, no, just the whole thing is, I don't know how this is being done, but some people make a fetish of telling their provider, I got to have this registered to me, and they don't know they're hurting themselves instead of helping themselves. And they do it because they're scared somebody's going to take it away from them. And it's just not going to happen that way.
I've had people in my company come to me and help to do just that.
Yes, and there are some serious side effects to doing it. Mostly in backbone routing when the network gets busy. Yes?
Hey, since this is our situation here, you mentioned something about having problems connecting with like Telnet and Downwell. Would this affect your downloading problem?
It might be. It well might be. We could check some other things in routing and stuff to see if that could, as I told you when you asked me in the hall, many different things could be the cause. The hope is that when, by the time this class is over tomorrow, you will know enough to look at this from all these ways and detect the cause. But yes, this is a possible cause. Domain names are a possible cause. Router clogging is a possible. There's a lot of possible causes. From the symptomology, you're telling me something is probably not quite right. I can't tell you what it is for the simple reason there could be several possible choices. Until we go after it and look, we won't know. What I'm trying to teach you in these classes is the tools to be able to do that. And the theory, enough understanding about how to use them. Well, we've reached the official end of the class time, and I had it in at 4:30 so that we'd have a half hour left at the end before the shuttle came to handle any specific questions. Tomorrow morning, we're going to start with routing. Joy.
Now, that's not going to be.
And you're going to think DNS was easy. Trust me.
Just not as much of it?
Honestly, not as much of it, but it's less human. This is all about names, and so ultimately, once you understand it, it's kind of just all about names and where you find them. So it's not routing, on the other hand, is all about bits inside of binary numbers, and while it's nowhere near as complex as DNS, it can be harder to remember and understand because it's not human. We sure will. We'll demonstrate the billing ICBM package tomorrow, and we'll show you more things, yes. I'll take that under consideration. These rumors, where do they come from? Okay, any other questions? I've worn you out, I can tell. Do any of you feel you know more now than when you came in?
Yes.
Okay.